If for one night we gon' get drunk, we gon' do some drugs, we gon' smack bitches, we gon' do what we do best. And you know what? Motherfuckers is already talking about it. They can't even follow me now. If I gave you a map, goddammit, you still couldn't follow me. I'm doing my thing now. Ain't nothing changed about me except my age. I got a little older, I got a little wiser. But the gangster is still the gangster. And this will be a night that goes down in history once again.
Brand new, you're retro. 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 Brand new, you're retro.
You're listening to High Society Radio on the More Like Radio network, morelikeradio.com. Our Twitter account is at HS Radio Show. The Facebook is facebook.com/High Society Radio. And there's even a Reddit subreddit, reddit.com/r/High Society Radio. I'm Chris Pepper Hicks Stanley.
Chris from Brooklyn.
Now, you notice that there's a member of the show missing. Our buddy, our good friend, our slacker.
I don't want to say Hispanic people are lazy,
but Bronx Johnny's missing yet again.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what happened. It could have been an arrest. It could have been a rape. I don't know. He could just be in another country.
He could have been raped, or he got preoccupied raping.
Sure. And I'm like, Johnny. I'm like, Chris, where's Johnny? And Chris doesn't have an answer for me. So, for the first time ever on High Society Radio, we have a guest.
Well, I guess it's not Mark Zito.
I guess it's not Mark Zito. A guest that is going to be sitting in with us for the entire show. And really the first guest ever on High Society Radio. That's graffiti artist Matt Jedi Litwick. He has a new book out called Beneath the Streets, The Hidden Relics of New York Subway System. It comes out July 11th in stores and online. You can pre-order it now on Amazon.com. His Instagram account is at Beneath the Streets NYC, at Beneath the Streets NYC on Instagram. Hi, Jedi. How's it going?
All right. Thanks for having me on the show.
Get up on that mic, buddy.
Okay. I got to get up on that here. You could call me Matt. You could call me Matt. Yeah, but thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. This is very exciting. We've never had a guest on before, so this could go totally horribly wrong.
Okay, well, I'll do my best. That's all
so
I can say.
You're a guinea pig for me and Chris to interview you about your new project.
Well,
are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's
first time I've ever been on the radio. So.
Well, this isn't technically the radio. This is a podcast.
Okay.
But it's on something called the More Like Radio Network, morelikeradio.com. Now, Beneath the Streets, the Hidden Relics of New York Subway System. Explain the book, because I'm looking at it right now, and it's a photography book, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, for the most part, when I was much younger, I explored the subway system pretty extensively.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm native of New York City.
Yeah.
And I got the idea around 7-8 years ago that it would be cool to put together a book that showed the subway system in a light that that people hadn't really ever seen before, you know? So I kind of took my background in graffiti and used that as the avenue for the book to tell the story of the subway tunnels.
Well, it's great because, I mean, all three of us here, we've grown up in New York, and I don't know what the view would be of people outside of New York, so this episode's going to be pretty New York-centric, but the subway is like a part of your life. It's like a family member. It's something that you love and you hate in New York City.
All at once, yeah. It's a great equalizer, people say, you know?
It is, because it's these ridiculously rich dudes and homeless, pantsless men everywhere.
Well, especially on the Sixth Line, apparently, according to that article in the news.
What happened on the sixth line?
Well, no, isn't that the worst line, the Lexington Avenue line? I think it's just the most groping and the most, I think the most sexual assaults on the subway lines. Is,
the most sex, so there's a sixth line here in New York City, and that's where the, they put out a big collection of data saying what crimes happen at which stations. And along the sixth line is where most of the...
That's where the most public masturbation occurs on the New York City subway
system. I'm pretty sure it used to be the L line, and now that's the most efficient, safest line.
Well, because, yeah, it's all rich white people in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
That's really inside.
No, I think Williamsburg has like permeated the international culture.
Yeah, but no one. Vast majority of people don't know what train goes into Williamsburg.
Yeah,
it's the L train.
I don't know if you watch Two Broke Girls. I think they talk about it.
Do they?
Probably.
I don't watch the show.
Hmm.
Oddly enough,
you're missing out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it took you 8 years to put together this book?
Well, it took us around 4 or 5 years to
compile
the right content.
So these are all flicks you took when you were running in the tunnels.
Yeah,
like
this is all older stuff, you know, and there's a lot of different contributors, so I'm not really at liberty to say who took the photos, but the book was compiled over the last handful of years, you know?
Okay.
It was a real difficult
thing. So how much of this stuff has been cleaned since you took the pictures?
Oh, virtually none of it, you know? I mean,
well, they don't bother cleaning
a
lot
of
this.
Yeah, the subway tunnel is really like a time capsule, you know, New York City's graffiti, and it's just a time capsule in general. I mean, when you're down there, it's a real timeless environment.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really... cool just to see something in New York that hasn't changed.
Well, I always thought it was kind of crazy. I think, it was when we were younger, I saw something, somebody showed me in a tunnel something that you had done when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like literally the only people who would see it is other writers and some MTA guys. There's these pieces of art that gotta take 5, 6, 7, 8 hours
mm-hmm.
to put up. I always thought it was an interesting, look, did you see some of these pictures, Stanley?
It's
just like actual like artwork.
Yeah, it's not all just like tags and scroll, although the walls down there are so filthy that oftentimes it's difficult to paint something really elaborate, like you might see on a nice wall outside. You can't use fancy spray paint. You have to use kind of industrial spray paint down there.
Okay.
Because the walls, you know.
And like roller paint?
And roller paint to get a base coat sometimes. The subway system dates back to 1904, so you're talking about some walls are 110 years old. So.
And dudes who are just posting up down there, it's just for them, right? I mean, they just do it?
For the most part, it's just writers writing for other writers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thrill and the rush that comes along with going to these environments.
And
kind of like something you can't describe. You know,
are active train tunnels, right? They're all...
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there are a few abandoned stations that are documented in the book. And that's really cool because a lot of people don't know that there's abandoned stations in the subway system.
Well, this book is coming out at a perfect time because there's nothing more popular right now than urban exploring,
mm-hmm.
where people just bounce around... hidden places in cities around around the whole country, around the world.
Nobody here is recommending that you go into the abandoned tunnels.
No one should put their life in
their
hands.
Unless you're going to start a cult.
See, what's great is you don't have to because you can just get Matt's book, which is Beneath the Streets, The Hidden Relics of New York City Subway System. It comes out July 11th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. I suggest you pre-order it.
You might as well pre-order. You save $10.
Thank you. So you get it cheaper.
I pre-ordered it months ago.
And is stuff from the book actually on the Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, the Instagram is small at this point. We only have a few photos there, but you can go on there. You can go on the Amazon page. You go on the Instagram, get a gist of some of the type of photography that you'll find.
All right, so you get a taste of the actual book on Instagram. That's at Beneath the Streets NYC, at Beneath the Streets NYC on Instagram. Just because this is some amazing graffiti in the actual book.
And there's also the book is filled with commentary and quotes from contemporary graffiti artists and graffiti artists of yesteryear who explored the tunnels as well. So you get some real insight into different people's experiences in the tunnels and what it's like to explore these types of places.
Well, that's one thing that we were talking about before we turned the mics on that I think is one of the coolest things about this is like since we're kids, you see there was a guy named Revs. What's the big movie there? They really outlawed the Revs cost beef. The graffiti movie.
Wild Style,
right?
No.
No, not Wild Style. You know the
Style
one.
Style Wars? No, that's
Style
that
Wars. Pre, is,
well, that predates Cost and Revs. That's a train era.
There's one
graffiti movie.
It's one of these from. I must have
Vomit?
Seen it 10 years ago. I don't remember.
Okay.
You're derailing the conversation,
Chris.
Listen.
But if you as a kid, you grow up, you see these like the guy just writes like long stories on these walls that you can only see for a split second.
Yeah.
And you're always kind of curious what they say.
No, rantings
of a madman or whatever.
Here in New York City, like if you go past certain subway stops, and I'm not even talking about stops, talking about the tunnels themselves in between stops, you'll catch glimpses of giant pieces of graffiti, like giant. And I've never seen them documented before besides in this book.
No, but you know what I mean? The stories that like literally just like word for word stories that you see that you can't like you can make out with what a tag says, but you can't read these paragraphs.
No, yeah. I've seen them before. Yeah, you pass through them on the subway, and you'll see just giant blocks of text. And like, what the hell? Who's doing that? And what the hell does it say? And now it's finally, you've actually documented it.
Yeah, I mean, by no means is the entirety of Rev's body of work documented in the book, but there's a nice amount of the stories that Rev's put together in the book, as well as pages that some of the other people he went and explored the tunnels with painted as well. So,
How often do you think guys are in the tunnels posting up?
I think it varies. I think it's kind of waxed and waned over the years. You know, I don't think there's.
Do you think it's still popular now?
It's still going on, you know, to a degree, yeah.
Do you think there are actually mole people in the New York City subways?
No, I mean, that's a bit of a myth.
See, I was hoping you'd say yes.
There's a documentary, Dark Days.
Yeah, I know.
And
I've seen
it. That's a different set of tunnels. That's an Amtrak tunnel on the West Side Highway.
Yeah, that's all the way uptown?
Yeah, from 72nd to 125th on the West Side Highway. There was a huge homeless community living there up until the mid-1990s because there were these vast regions of track off to the side where there was no trains running. So people had shanty towns and homes. They had running water, electricity. It's a great documentary. Anyone wants to check it out, Dark Days. But
what annoyed me about that documentary was when I was watching it, I just kind of threw it on Netflix, and I kind of felt like it was taking place in like the late 70s, early 80s, just the way they shot it.
It was really taking place in like 94.
Yeah, and then I found out it was like mid-90s. I was like, why is this guy still selling VCRs? Like, I don't understand what's going on.
Well, it was also all in black and white, which will make you think it's a lot older than it actually is.
But yeah, to answer your question, not too many homeless people. You might get a scattered guy here or there living in one of the emergency exits.
Sure.
Or someone posting up in an abandoned area, but for the most part, there's not communities of people living down there.
See, that makes me sad.
I mean, I've seen heroin, I've seen syringes down there, I've seen food and stuff, signs of life.
Yeah, because when I want to shoot heroin, I want just trains running by my head all night
long. Well, I feel like the vibrations, if you're all doped up, that might feel kind of good. It's like an EDM concert.
Really, the subway is the last place you can smoke a cigarette in New York City and not get your balls busted. I'm talking about in the tunnels.
Probably.
The tunnels. On the platform, you get a summons.
Yeah.
Probably get a central booking these days.
Actually. No, it's probably just $30 summons.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on, Jedi. Jesus Christ. All right, you're listening to High Society Radio. We have Matt Litwacken. His new book is Beneath the Streets, The Hidden Relics of New York City's New York Subway System. That comes out July 11th in stores and online. You can pre-order it now on Amazon.com. And it's jumping up, right? Like on the pre-order
list. Amazon, it's crazy. I mean, after just one day and a half of Instagram and a couple of news articles that came out, I mean, it's already in the top 4,000 on Amazon sales.
Well, you got the front page of Metro, right, in New York?
Front page of Metro New York yesterday, yeah.
Which I think has got to be better than the Post or the Daily News at this point. Does anybody actually give a shit?
Well, here in New York City, it's funny that there's just a new beef between the New York Post and the Daily News because the Daily News put their price up to $1.25. So now the Post is just ripping the news every day.
I think the Daily News consistently likes to have their price slightly higher than the Post, so they can pretend that they're the classier paper.
But they're also the worst paper. I mean, sure, the New York Post is terribly right wing, and just every opinion in the actual paper enrages me. But it is an actual. I feel it's a better paper.
That the Post today put an article out about a Daily News seller who supposedly was attacked after the price hike.
Yeah, I know how they forged that story.
Yeah, there's no way this is a real story. Like, if you work for the Daily News, you're not going to speak to the Post. They just got a guy to lie who's clearly a homeless man.
His sneakers really match his shirt there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Good. Well, yeah, you got to look fly if you're selling New York Daily Newses.
But I think the Post has the best sports section.
Without a doubt.
I'll give them that.
Without a doubt.
And I think the Daily News might own this Metro or AM. They own one of the two.
Oh, good for them.
They own it. But, it was nice, good coverage on there, and I'm sure a lot of homeless people wipe their asses with it, but at the same time, you know.
Yeah, you're providing bedding to most homeless people, so that's a great thing. How tight are the guys in the graffiti community?
I have some really great friends in graffiti, and graffiti is an international phenomenon at this point, so you can travel anywhere in the world and stay at people's houses, paint with them.
Well, I'm guessing you saw Exit the Gift Shop, the Banksy documentary?
Yeah, I've seen it. I think there's like a fine line between street art, maybe not such a fine line, but there's a difference between street art and kind of traditional graffiti
that
this book documents.
There's definitely a culture around. There's definitely party graffiti. I've definitely been with you and stuff and other buddies of ours that we grew up with, various graffiti parties. Those guys all know each other.
Oh, yeah.
Some guys.
Yeah, it's a community, you know, in a sense, you know?
It's like one thing I think people don't understand about it is that everybody describes it as like addictive.
Yeah, in your earlier years, graffiti is addictive because, you know, putting even the ego aside, the places you're going, like these tunnels or rooftops, train tracks and whatnot, you get such an adrenaline rush, you kind of can't get that anywhere else in life.
Mm.
So,
well, I remember at one point, I guess you were pretty young at the time, but you got in a little trouble.
Yeah.
And then you made a bet with me that you would never, ever do any graffiti again, and every time you did, you would pay me $5,
well,
which I never collected on.
I think I lost the bet.
Yeah.
I certainly lost the bet.
You lost the bet within days.
Mm-hmm. Well, then Chris gets a piece of the book sales, though. So that's what I heard.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That would
be
a 15%, good... I think we had yet.
Oh, that's great. That's like better than a book agent. Yeah. Right?
You are an idiot. When Banksy was up in New York, were you caught up in it or no? Or did you just not care?
To be brutally honest, I didn't care that much.
I want you to be brutally honest.
Yeah, I'm not into the whole street art thing, you know. I just not my it's just so, not what I grew
so
up
tell,
at,
tell,
you know?
Tell people what the difference is between street art
and
graffiti.
So, you know, without stepping on too many people's toes here.
Step on everyone's
I'll step
toes.
On everyone's toes. So,
please.
Street art is more like gallery art.
Okay.
In the street. If you will, you know?
Okay.
A lot of gallery owners and stuff, a lot of people in the art world, they can't wrap their head around traditional graffiti, you mm-hmm. know, graffiti with spray paint, with letters. So they kind of need to reappropriate so gallery art that's in the street as street art.
So like Banksy is the Elvis, right? He's just appropriating a street thing.
Sure, yeah.
That's what
he's
it
the
is.
Elvis of,
yeah.
And
by
of graffiti.
The
Eminem
of art.
You're talking about like guys using stencils or whatever?
Yeah, stencils or wheat paste. You see a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just not into it. People are into it. It's great. There's some great artists doing stuff. But
like Shepard Fairey too, right?
Shepard Fairey, guy. Yeah. He's a pretty legit artist, you know, at this point. And he's got the clothing company, Obey.
Yeah.
Is
a clothing company called Obey? That's weird. I haven't seen it.
but... Yeah.
Did Andre the Giant's family ever sue that guy?
No, I don't think there was ever any rift between the two of them.
It seems like you should probably sue that dude.
I don't think he has much family, Andre the Giant. I mean, he was from a tiny little village in France.
Well, the publisher that publishes Beneath the Streets also publishes Shepard Fairey's books. I'm not really at liberty to, you know,
shit on him.
Step all over. But no, but...
Shepard Fairey's great, everyone. Everyone buy his things.
I'm just saying, if Andre was still alive, there'd be some beef. You know, he might get choked.
I don't think so. Andre the Giant seemed like a pretty affable dude. And the way he dressed in wrestling, like I was watching the first Royal Rumble, and Andre didn't wrestle, but he was in the ring, and what he was wearing was just ridiculous looking. It was just
the singlet with one strap?
No. He was in his street clothes, and it was just like plaid pants.
Oh, yeah. He wore some leisure suits.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The big collars and stuff.
Giant collars. And suspenders. And they were just slapping around Hogan. It was great.
Before Andre the Giant, there was the Jewish Giant.
I don't even know who that is.
From the Bronx.
Who is the Jewish Giant?
Well, I don't know all that much about him, but he's a Jewish immigrant, and he lived above my father in the Bronx.
So this is just a guy you knew, or the guy you knew of.
He's long gone, the Jewish Giant.
I'm sure, yeah. Was he
wrestler? He was just the world's only Jew above 5'9".
Wow.
That's why they called him that.
That's gigantic, literally, for the Jews and for wrestlers. Was he a wrestler?
I think they had him doing a whole bunch of things, wrestling, freak shows.
So he was
a
freak.
Yeah. Here's some pictures of him.
Oh, wow. This guy lived above your dad's place?
In the Bronx, yeah. Somewhere by,
This guy really was a giant. This guy was a giant Jew.
That's Andre. But yeah. He's not related to Fat Jew on Instagram?
No.
You know about Fat Jew on Instagram, this guy?
Oh, yeah. I know. Not well, but I know.
You know this guy?
Yeah, because he was in a rap group. On the tip of my tongue, I can't get it out right now, but a couple of different graffiti dudes were doing the beats for it.
Okay,
and,
I gotcha.
Yeah, Chris, you never heard of the Fat Jew?
No, I never heard of this until right now.
Oh, dude.
He's a big afro, this guy.
Yeah, he's great.
It's called the Jufro.
Well, yeah.
He was at, I was probably maybe Coachella, some festival out west, and he just drew a cat on his gut, and the cat in his belly button was the cat's asshole. It was hysterical.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and then he launched a Soul Cycle class in the city with a bunch of homeless guys. It's good stuff.
Wait, what?
You know what soul cycling is?
Is that like spinning?
I guess it's like a spin class, yeah. And he put him on the city bikes, and him and a bunch of homeless guys, and it got a little press. He's a character. He's a character. You're listening to High Society Radio on morelikeradio.com. Matt Litwack is in. His new book is Beneath the Streets, The Hidden Relics of New York's Subway System. It comes out July 11th in stores and online. Pre-order it now. Pre-order it! If you like graffiti, if you like New York City, if you're from New York City and you don't buy this book, you're going to look like a dick.
Yeah, you can't be a piece of shit.
If you have this, you have to buy this book, put it on your coffee table, and everyone that comes into your house is going to open it up and look at it and be like, this is amazing. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's 224 pages. I guess I should plug that, and it's over 500 photos.
That's great. So, is this your life's work? Is that what you would say?
You could say my life leading up to this, yeah.
All right, good. So up to now, this is your life's work. So now you have to find something new.
Do you think they'll ever let, like, I know you were talking about maybe getting a tour guide license.
All
right, they would ever let you give tours of, like, abandoned
subway
stations? They
would let me, but back in the 90s, they used to give tours of the abandoned subway station. Yeah, 91st Street, there's an abandoned station.
Cool.
They used to give tours there. Yeah. If you go on newyorkcitysubway.org, there's old photos of the tours.
As more and more old stuff from New York leaves, like, the old stuff that remains just gets more and more precious, I feel like, right? Because everything else is closing down. Like plenty of like Grace with Pie is closing here in New York City.
Is that so? Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean the main one down on West 4th has been closed for months.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then is the one up in the 80s still open?
I think that's the last one going.
Hmm. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I think with them really, it's just Papaya King just kind of blew them out of the water. And literally, I think all it took was selling French fries. I think that is the difference.
Yeah, but I like Papaya.
Their prices really went up over the years. Oh, 95 cents or a dollar?
It was
75
hot dogs.
Cents. It was a recession special.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it? You got two hot dogs and a papaya juice for like,
I think it was
$1.95.
Because they had a nickel, they had all the nickels.
Oh, yeah. Back when people cared about nickels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's over.
Yeah, that's done.
But I mean, there's people in Bushwick trying to ban bars at this point because I guess they don't want more new shit.
Well, Bushwick.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, the community
now,
board is trying to.
Old residents of Bushwick?
I think it's some of the like first wave gentrifiers who are just getting older. Mm. And probably some of the, like, you know, the three Dominican guys that are left.
Oh, the first wave. Yeah, there's definitely a population of first wave gentrifiers who feel like this is getting out of hand now.
Yeah.
This is just getting too ridiculous. There's too many young people here. Because I guess the first wave gentrifiers would probably be what, in their 30s and 40s at this point?
Could be early 40s, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they say when they Crown Heights had a they had like a meeting to help residents deal with the raising rents, and they said that like half the people that showed up were for public assistance were first wave gentrifiers who couldn't afford Crown Heights anymore.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was so surprised. I went up there for a job the other day, and I didn't realize that Crown Heights was gentrified now by Franklin, by the 2 and 3 train, yeah. I didn't realize that.
That was like Crack Central, 1995.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Wow, as close as 95, huh?
Yeah.
Even in my neighborhood.
Like, I think like 98, 99.
Yeah, even later.
And there's a part of my neighborhood that used to just be, there's like Blood Central, just like blood-controlled territory, and there was just crack, street harassment, and strip clubs. And now there's just like one strip club left, and the rest is just high-rise apartment buildings.
Is it Show Palace?
No, it's Scandals.
Oh, Scandals is a good strip club.
I've never been.
They should landmark it.
Oh, that's right by the bridge. You can see it from the bridge.
Yeah, right over the Manhattan Bridge here in New York. There's just it was literally a neighborhood underneath a bridge, and it was horrifying. And they've actually turned it nice. Now there's like well-to-do rich dudes live there.
What, Dumbo or down in Queens by you?
Queensboro Plaza.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, people. I mean, obviously that's where I work, so people still will talk about it in like Yelp reviews. Like, it's kind of a shady neighborhood. I don't know if you trust it out here.
It's fine. You people don't know what shady is.
But that wasn't even, like, that shady of a neighborhood. It was just kind of some strip clubs over there and no one lived there. Like, you need people for there to be crime.
There were, like, just an inordinate amount of random thugs were walking the street all the time. It was just a very weird scene. Also, Chris, tell me about Patreon.com.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what we're up on now?
Yeah, I set up a Patreon account if anybody wants to donate to that.
Explain to our listeners what a Patreon account is.
Well, it's like Kickstarter, but it's monthly. So basically, if we put out more content, then you put more donations in. It's just links to your PayPal account. And if people, it's like an incentive for us to put out more content.
And we're not going to be adding any ads to the show. It's all just, these are listener donations.
Exactly. As of right now, without mentioning it on the show yet, because I just set it up, Tenderloin on Reddit. He is our one donor, so we're set for a cool $5 a month for Tenderloin.
Matt's going to get a piece of that because he was on this month's show.
That's
this
$5 show, didn't have yesterday, you know. So
that's true.
That's you got to look at it.
So that's nice. Thanks, Tenderloin.
Yeah.
Big ups. And so he just gave us $5. Doesn't want anything in return.
No, he wants you to say that you'll suck his dick. I don't think he wants you to do it. He wants you to just say it.
Okay, so what do I have to say exactly? What do I have to say? Because I'm going to do this for Tenderloin because I want that cool $1.50.
I would suck Tenderloin's dick is all he wants.
I would suck Tenderloin's dick.
He's
there
gonna
you go.
Isolate
See,
that.
You just go on Patreon.com and I'll say stupid things. For money.
That's.
I guess that makes me a whore.
Well, I mean, it's better than doing it for free, which we've been doing for years.
Sure. And speaking of being a whore, Matt Litwack's in studio with us, and his new book is Beneath the Streets, The Hidden Relics of New York Subway System. Really, it's a beautiful, beautiful graffiti book. It's a photography book. It's a coffee table book, right?
Yeah, for the most. I mean, it's got a lot of historical stuff in it, too, a lot of writing, a lot of text. But yeah, it's a coffee table book at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a big book. It's
Or if you have a toilet tank, you could leave it on the shitter, and then that's like a good... I would say this is a good 50, 60 shits.
I don't know. You don't want to have the book about Subway smell like the Subway, do you?
I mean, do you shit on the things you read in the bathroom? Like
all the time.
You get,
but is that
shit
just
on
me?
Your hand and then you keep touching
just
the book.
You, Chris.
That's weird. Well, the link for the book is going to be up on our Twitter account, which is at HS Radio Show. And the link for the Patreon account is also going to be up there, right, Chris?
That'll be just in the header, so you can just, it'll be there all the time.
It'll be there forever.
Yeah. And how do they discontinue their payment?
You can just stop.
You can just
go on there and stop paying us.
I'm sick of paying these idiots $5 a month.
You can just pay for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't care how much Stanley says he'll blow me. I'm not paying for this anymore. And that's going to hurt my feelings.
Well, that people aren't willing to pay to hear you say that you'll suck their dick?
I guess, yeah. I guess that's my problem.
Maybe they would pay for you to just suck their dicks.
I don't want to do that, though. I just want to talk into this microphone.
Just pretend it's a dick.
No. Chris, where do you think Johnny is right now?
Subway system?
You think? Is he in this book? Is there a small Ecuadorian man in that book, Matt?
As far as I know, no.
Well, you would know. You're the one.
No Ecuadorians.
Okay, good.
That's pretty racist that you just kept Ecuadorians out of your book.
Well, there's a black man in the book.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But no Ecuadorians.
All right.
How much graffiti would you say there actually is in the subway? Decent graffiti. I'll rephrase the question. Mm-hmm. How much decent graffiti is there to find in the New York City
subway? There's a lot of cool stuff, you know? There's a lot of... I mean, the Revs pages are definitely the coolest stuff in the subway system. But there's a lot... I mean, when people were painting subway trains back in the 70s and 80s, they used to have to go into the subway tunnels to paint the trains.
See, I remember when the trains were trash
with
graffiti.
When the trains were all bombed out, yeah. That ended around 89, 90. But when all those guys would go to the old layups, which is... place where they parked the trains, they would go tag the walls. So the history of New York City's subway graffiti is still on the walls of some of these old tunnels.
That's amazing.
So that, a lot of that is documented in the book as well. You know, so a lot of people who haven't painted graffiti in 30, 40 years but were really famous back then have their artwork in the book.
See, it's really like a piece of history because most, like, I'd say a good amount of people living in New York City just see that as just some fictional time. Right? I mean, it was just when the subways were
there's
nuts.
There's some great, I don't know if you have any of these kind of, you'll find like great photo things of like people that are clearly like high society looking, like aristocrat looking people that are like going to like the ballet or something on these like graffiti filled subway trains from the 80s. There's some of the most bizarre pictures you'll ever see. Because I guess like, you know, I guess the old money still kind of dressed really old money.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously it's 80s New York. So it's just littered with.
It's Cracktown.
Yeah.
It's just, they should be smoking crack in front of them on the subway cars.
Well, no, those are the guys who created crack and distributed it into the inner city streets.
Oh, I forgot about
white
that.
White man, that's who that is.
I thought it was Ronald Reagan, right? Yeah.
Ronald Reagan, the CIA.
Iran-Contra.
10 years, I read in the paper today, in Metro New York, actually, I read today. 10 years to the week that Reagan died.
Really?
And 5 years to the day that Michael Jackson died.
See, I don't remember where I was for Reagan, but I do remember when Reagan died, that I was really confused as to why people freaked out so much and just elevated him to, like, godhood status and to the fact that they wanted to put him on money. Like, I think
they wanted to put him on money.
Yeah, after he died, people were talking about, we got to get Reagan on some cash. We got to get him on a coin.
Who are they going to get rid of?
I don't know. See,
Maybe just create a new coin.
The 2 cent. 2 cent bit,
or redo the $2 bill with Reagan, because I still like a $2 bill.
Yeah, I love one.
Like if I get a $2 bill, I feel really good. Like, wow, I'm not going to spend this. I'm going to have myself $2 forever until I'm really, really broke.
But isn't Jefferson on a $2 bill?
I'm not sure. It's on a $2 bill.
I think it's Jefferson. I don't think you could bump Jefferson from anything.
I'll do bumps with Jefferson.
Maybe he was alive. The Liberty dime.
Did he?
No, maybe they could bump the Liberty dime
and put Reagan
on this.
Maybe.
But then eventually that did die down. I was happy. I was just so, like, I guess because we were children when Reagan was the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like we remember. I mean, it was like a horrible crime rates around the country while Reagan was president.
He killed all the unions.
Yeah.
With his and he destroyed the economy with his crazy trickle down garbage. The first president I remember is George Bush won. And like I remember him winning And I remember, like, I remember him going into Iraq. Like, I remember, like, seeing the thing on TV saying we're going to war.
Yeah,
and
as a small child,
I was freaked out by it.
And you know?
You know who he beat out?
No.
Michael Dukakis.
Oh, yeah.
You know the name, right?
Yeah. I do. Everybody, it's like, these old punchlines that you just hear from watching old TV shows.
Yeah, well, like Saturday Night Live.
I have no idea who these people are.
This joke would be great if I got the reference. I'll laugh anyway. Hysterical.
A lot of Walter Mondale jokes in like old Simpsons episodes.
Sure. And then I remember where I was when Michael Jackson died, because I was eating a cheeseburger in some shitty cheeseburger spot, and they were playing the radio, and it was just constant Michael Jackson. And that's where I was when Michael Jackson died.
I have a buddy who thought James Vanderbeek died because some DJ just decided to be an asshole and just announced in the middle of a club, just so everybody knows, James Vanderbeek just died in a car crash, and then played the Dawson's Creek theme song. So like 1,000 people were walking around for 2 days saying James Vanderbeek died.
What? Wait.
I swear to God, my buddy Mike comes in my house like, yo, you heard that dude from Dawson's Creek died? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, the DJ started playing it when he died last night. He said he read it on Twitter. I was like, what? It was back when a few years ago when Twitter death hoaxes were big, I guess.
Oh, they still are. I mean, they're never going to go away. So they started playing this and just started saying...
And like scratching it and said that this is dedicated to dead James Vanderbeek.
It's sad. I would have been sad. I'm like, damn, Vanderbeek, you went too soon.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
You don't remember Dawson's Creek?
No, I know the show, but I don't know...
The main dude.
The blonde guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't know the name.
No, I know the guy.
Sure you do.
All right, we don't have to listen to the whole song.
This was a good song, though, right? Oh, am
Jesus.
I right?
This is worse. Just put the Kim.com song on.
I don't have it.
You don't have it? Did you see this thing? People are extorting Bitcoins from people now.
How do you extort Bitcoins from a person?
Like, they're just sending arbitrary things. Because Bitcoin is untraceable, businesses are getting letters in the mail saying, here's a picture of it. It says, notice of extortion. And basically, what people are saying is that they will just anonymously report all these crimes so that you'll have the government up your ass in your business. They'll call in bomb threats to your business. They'll vandalize things. Telephone denial of service, fraudulent delivery orders, harassing telephone calls, Better Business Bureau complaints. Like, and they'll just do this unless you send them Bitcoins through like coin. I think Coinbase is mentioned on here.
This is a great idea. Why aren't we doing this already? Why aren't we part of this? Why aren't we the story?
These
podcasts begun extorting money from Bitcoiners.
These guys are going to get caught and they're going to go to jail for quite a while.
I don't know, man. It's cryptocurrency. What does crypto mean? Hidden.
You knew about Bitcoin way back when.
Oh, God. We talk about all the time how we're fucking idiots and Matt, didn't buy fucking Bitcoins.
We talk about Bitcoin a lot in this show. It comes up every week.
Old memories.
No, it'll come up next week and the week after that, too, because we don't have any material.
By now, right?
There's new Bitcoin stories constantly, so we got to talk about it. I think it's one of the most interesting things going on. And all the different, like some guys coming out with a cryptocurrency now that is just attached to, it mines coins when you throw garbage into garbage cans. They're called emeralds. And he's trying to get this put into different places. So I guess just like homeless people just will start collecting cans, throwing it in these things and just getting...
Look, homeless people, you can't depend on homeless people to be Wi-Fi hotspots. You can't trust them to be on Bitcoin miners, all right? They like one thing, shooting dope in the subway and having Matt taking pictures of them. That's all they care about.
That's three things.
You can see a lot of great syringe pictures in Beneath the Streets, the hidden relics of New York's subway system, which comes out July 11th in stores. So that's what, next week or the week? It's week out. Two weeks.
We're also having an opening. I should plug that, too.
Yes, plug it, yes.
Plug the opening. So Powerhouse Books, Powerhouse Arena.
That's in Brooklyn? It's in Dumbo,
Brooklyn,
right?
It's in Dumbo, yeah. It's a nice venue. July 10th, 7 to 9 p.m., be doing a nice little lecture there on the book, and you can buy the book. You can meet me. You can have me sign your book.
You'll be giving a lecture.
I'll be giving a lecture.
I'll probably be there a little sauced. I'm not gonna lie.
I might be a little sauced.
Does Powerhouse offer alcohol at their events?
They were saying something about some wine or something.
All right, so you go to Brooklyn. You go to Dumbo, Brooklyn, July 10th. You get some wine. You get a lecture from a slightly drunk man. And you get a beautiful, beautiful coffee table. This is no bullshit. This is a really nice book. Now, if there was like a holiday coming up, I guess July 4th, do people get prizes? I feel like an idiot. Yeah. Do people get presents for July 4th?
They're called summonses.
Okay. So, but the next time you buy someone a present, if they like graffiti, if they like art, if they're interested in New York City, if they live in New York City, get them this book. It's Beneath the Streets, The Hidden Relics of New York City Subway System. And
oh, yeah?
They call me.
That's good. You're going to be on Gothamist too with us?
Yeah, yeah, they're doing an article next week.
You're here right now, okay? Just look.
I'm
let's,
here.
Let's
I know.
Worry
he's,
about
looking
this.
At, he's looking at Gothamist. I
did pull up a Gothamist page.
Focus, everyone. Focus.
But I did want to show you this. This is more of a something that I would love to show Johnny as well, but he's not here.
No, Chris, I was in the middle of plugging that.
Well,
we've plugged enough. It's fine. We'll plug again before the end of the show. I want to talk about some things. Look at this titty-filled moon bounce.
What is this?
Well, you know how the Museum of Sex is incredibly lame for something called the Museum of Sex?
It's terrible.
Yeah, they're trying to make it fun, so they're putting in like a giant moon bounce. That is all like inflatable tits.
Do orgies go down here?
No, probably not.
Well, then what fun could a bouncy house be for an adult?
I don't know. Bouncy house seems like it could be pretty fun.
I don't know.
All these broads seem like they're having a good time, right?
Most of my outside activities outside of work and home involve alcohol. I don't think me getting hammered and going to a bouncy room is conducive to me not vomiting over everyone.
All right, but look at the grips on this rock climbing wall that they're putting in. Also, this is a vagina and this is a penis.
Yeah, this is an awful story.
You know what those things are, yeah?
Yeah, I do. I found out what both of those things are.
This is terrible.
I read a book about it once.
You know, when I was in, I went to Amsterdam. And I went to the torture museum, and it was kind of like the sex museum. Not that the two things are similar, but it didn't live up to.
It doesn't live up to. Yeah,
it didn't
yeah.
live up to its hype. You know, I mean, for some people, sex and torture are intertwined. You know, but
yeah, I'm sure there's a BDSM section in both of those places. I think Sing Sing is. They might be having a weird like. I read somewhere that it was a macabre museum. Or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
Sing Sing, the prison in upstate New York, and Sing Sing's been, you know, I think most people know what Sing Sing is.
Mm.
It's a prison. Yeah, they have a museum coming out, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going to be like sad. Old electric chairs and stuff like that.
It's really depressing. I wouldn't want to go to that.
I wouldn't want to have to go all the way upstate to see it. If it was here somewhere, I would go.
You go to it.
If you take the train up the Metro North, if you take the train upstate, well, there's Ossining is the... Yeah. This town, the upstate town that Sing Sing's in, and the goddamn prison's directly next to the train station. It's really just depressing. Anyone going upstate, it's like, oh, there's the prison again.
But years ago, there was no barbed wiring.
Really?
And I kid you not, the train tracks were there, and they put their life in their hands, but the guys who were doing labor out in the jail, whatever, yard... They would jump off onto passing freight trains and escape.
I would take the train up there, I would think, why? What's stopping them from jumping? Like, there's literally a place to there's the best place to escape to from the prison, right directly
there's
outside
so
the prison.
There's so much barbed wire.
Whatever.
So much barbed wire.
Get a blanket. You can get through it. Get a couple cuts.
Didn't some guys recently steal a helicopter out in California and try to lower a rope ladder into a prison yard?
Shit like that.
In Canada.
I think if you escape from jail. That's it. It's like you win.
I think they should
kind of. It should be like a prize, you know?
Yeah, I think they should kind of like be like, all right, if you leave the country, we'll just let you.
Like, I mean, if you fucking pull that off, escaping from prison, good for you.
Like that guy I think it was in upstate New York. He made it down to Mexico and then called like Reverend Al to negotiate his turning himself
up.
In.
They always call family. They always go to family's
house.
No,
he got to Mexico.
No, I know.
But he didn't speak Spanish. He was just a black dude who. It was like a two-tiered prison. So he jumped down, somehow landed on this like, you know, five flights down, landed on that, jumped another three, didn't die, like, made it to Mexico, but he just couldn't do anything when he got there. Didn't speak Spanish.
Still, man.
He's like, screwed. He had no money, didn't speak Spanish, was probably still wearing, like, I mean, shitty clothes, but, like, so he, like, had to negotiate turning himself back in because he just couldn't. If he had gotten to Canada, he probably could have lived in Canada.
Are you kidding me that he couldn't deal with, I don't know, speaking some broken Spanish? He'd rather go back to prison? Well, also, Mexico is horrible, and he probably would have gotten his head cut off.
Yeah, he probably would have. They probably would have grabbed him for ransom.
Somebody's got their head cut off in the city today. They got
in Manhattan?
Well, they were in a car. They tried evading the police, and they got something with a tractor trailer came. And you have to read the story. You have to pull up the story, but he was decapitated.
Yeah. I don't want to pull up that's
by Atlantic Avenue.
You were telling me, all right, when you were reading this book, you tried to talk to some, when you were writing the book, you were trying to talk to some subway cops, and you couldn't really find anybody.
Yeah, no one
on
would, it was, you know, they wouldn't talk to me.
But you told me about, like, the most disturbing phenomenon that apparently happens. What's it called again?
Space case.
Space case.
What's space case?
It's fucked, man. All right, so, if the guy gets pinned on the platform, the train comes and pins him up against the platform. So
you're
he's stuck.
Your body's between the platform and the train.
Yeah, so you're alive because the pressure is keeping all of your organs compacted together.
Yeah.
So the cop comes. Listen, they got to move the train eventually, you know?
Yeah.
The cop comes. They give you a cigarette or whatever, you know? I don't even think like a minister comes. They don't have enough time. You know, they tell you what's going to happen. The guy's freaking the fuck out. And then I can curse.
Yeah, you can curse. It's
okay,
fine.
So the guy's freaking out. And then they put the body bag below you. No joke. They move the train. Everything unravels. The guy's guts fall out of his body. And they bring him away.
Jesus Christ.
And that's the thing. A lot of transit cops really traumatizes a lot of transit cops who have to deal with that, you know?
So how'd you hear about this? From a transit cop?
Bartender I know, his brother was a transit cop and had to deal with it.
And it's called the space case?
Space case,
and
yeah.
It's like, it's fairly, like, that's the crazy common thing is that you told me it's fairly common.
It's fairly common also for people to just get hit by trains, you know?
Really?
Like, people get hit by trains all the time, and the MTA, the articles aren't all over the place. I mean, if you go on Gothamist, you go on one of these websites,
Some, that happened to someone a couple months ago. Someone got pinned on the subway.
But it's happening all the time.
So you're saying there's cover-ups of people getting pinned on the subway.
It's just not heavily, widely reported.
Mm. You'd think it'd be reported constantly with the amount of people with cell phones and on the subway.
Yeah, but I don't think people really want to. I mean, it's kind of a downer. Nobody really wants to talk. We're covering it here because, you know, we're depressed losers.
It happens in front of me. I'm busting out that cell phone and screaming World Star. For some reason, I don't know.
Oh, that is so. Some guy just got told that eventually, because he's alive and
he's
speaking.
Alive.
It's not like he just got fucked up by the train.
No,
so,
I know.
So you're gonna yell "World Star" as they pull the train out, and this guy and the faint visage of life just fades from his eyes as his organs just fall all over the train tracks and become rat food. You're gonna yell "World Star" and
they're
take
not
the
gonna fall on the tracks. Yeah, they're gonna have the space case.
They put the space case bag below the body
bag. They have a special bag for it, like a pooper scooper.
Were you not listening to the story he just said?
No, it's really horrible. You know, but it's probably a quick way to die. You know, probably once it happens, it happens. Once they move the train, you know.
Sure, you don't feel the bottom half of your body.
Yeah, but like you hear, shh, boom, boom, stand clear of the closing doors, and then you know you're dead. You're gone.
That's a rough one.
It's the end of you. You were telling me something else. Did you find this out when you were writing the book, the Gum Squad?
Yeah, there's the Gum Squad. No, I found this out actually when I was doing community service for being arrested many moons ago. But the guy who was running the station cleanup told me there used to be a Gum Squad. And their job was to just, because you know, you see spots on the ground. You see it on the pavement, you see it in subway stations. So they had to pour this solution all over the platform. And then come with a scraper and scrape up all the gum.
So the old, like, because in the city, or I guess in any city, really, you'll see, like, oval spots. And it's like, they're, like, black. Like, what is that? That's an old piece of gum just ingrained into the goddamn sidewalk or whatever, the platform.
Yeah, so this solution, whatever was in the solution, killed everyone who ever worked on the Gum Squad.
It's like Agent Orange.
And probably a bunch of people doing community service.
Probably also, you know.
They probably don't talk about that.
How'd you find out about the Gum Squad?
So I got arrested once and I had to do some community service, and the guy who was running the community service unit just mentioned it in passing. So then I went home and I looked into it, and there was a Gum Squad, and these people really died in vain. You know, they died for no reason.
They died to remove gum.
What's really sad is that there's just a bunch of gum on the platform.
And there's still a bunch of gum. That's true. Like it never happened, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They made no impact on the world. This is real. This interview.
How would you rather die? Space case or Gum Squad?
Space case, dude. It's fast. I'm not gonna just die from some horrible lung disease. I'm guessing that's what got him because of just inhaling fumes from this awful gum removing chemical. The hell? What was in this chemical? Just use some OxyClean. Who cares?
I don't think they had OxyClean at the time.
Well, that's Billy Mays' fault.
Well, he's dead too.
They found a bunch of coke and Xanax in him.
Really?
Yeah, when he died.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
You seem pretty enthusiastic.
He liked the party, dude. He had all that OxyClean money.
Yeah, and Orange Clean, whatever the hell that shit is.
Oh,
yeah.
The OxyClean guy was on drugs.
I don't know, whatever. So he did a little bit of coke, ate a little bit of Xanax. Okay. Who doesn't? Right? What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. All right, look, you're listening to High Society Radio. We're on the More Like Radio Network. Matt's book's going to be on our Twitter account. So as you're listening to this, go to @HSRadioShow and check out the book. Check out Matt's Instagram account, @BeneathTheStreetsNYC, just to see what's some of the pictures that are actually in the book. Because it really is it's a gorgeous book. And I'm really happy Johnny wasn't here today because Matt was able to come in.
Well, thank you.
And we were able to just really just talk about something for once and not just hear about Bing and Ecuadorian food and be confused as to what race Johnny actually is. Does that come off as racist?
Kind of. But I thought, all right, well, we do have to have some sort of minority in here so we could say the N-word, right?
We're not saying
Jew
the N-word.
Jew is a minority?
I don't. Is Jew still considered a minority?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jew is a minority.
Not New York City.
Yes.
If we were recording the show in Texas, like, I think they might dislike Jews more than they dislike black
the
people.
The Jewish man is a minority of the world. I mean, there's the most Jews are in New York outside, I guess,
persecuted
Israel. Persecuted
wherever we go, you know?
Well, I mean, you guys kind of bring it on yourselves. I mean, you know, really, do you really have to pull out the tip calculator every time? Like, what do you.
Yeah, we do.
It's not hard to calculate a tip inside your head. You have it twice and you drop a couple points off. It's fine.
Exactly.
It's not hard, everyone. You don't got to get down to the goddamn penny.
All right. So wait, but we'd have, if we just have a Jewish person on instead of Johnny all the time, now we have to say Shvatza, right? That's.
Chaim, sure.
Yeah.
Cheers. Let's get some drinks, right, boys? Which,
doesn't that just mean black in Yiddish?
Black, yes.
Yes, it's just the word black.
I think so.
Isn't racism great?
Isn't there a, what country, is it Germany that has, like...
Nazis? Yeah, it's Germany.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, those. But they also, like, Santa Claus has a helper called, like, Schwarze Pete, who's just, like, a black dude.
No.
Yeah. I think there's there's some country that has, Black Pete is, like, his evil demon helper.
I think,
I don't know if he's an evil demon. I think he's, like, an elf.
Oh. Denmark, they have elves. Or they have Smurfs.
No, Smurfs are from a TV show.
No. They think that there's these little blue guys living in the mountains. I'm getting
no,
wrong.
You're talking about Norway.
Norway.
They believe in the existence of elves.
This might be the most misinformed
show. No, he's right.
60% of people in Norway acknowledge that there's a possibility that elves exist. You're a Tolkien fan. You should be hyped about this.
Sure, there's a possibility, but most likely not. Much like Bigfoot.
And they say something like 10% believe in the existence of elves, like in the mountains and shit.
Yeah.
You never heard these stats? It's some of the most bizarre stuff.
No, I haven't, actually.
I would just think, as a Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones fan, you would want that to be real.
There aren't any elves in Game of Thrones, Chris, okay?
I didn't read the book, so I don't know. Maybe there are elves in the books.
No, there
aren't.
There's
a midget.
Yeah, there's a midget. He's
a dwarf.
I don't even watch the show. I know there's a dwarf. I'm sorry.
Peter Dinklage.
I'm sorry.
He's a great actor. Come on.
I'm not saying he
basically
isn't.
He got the best dwarf role. I mean, I'm sure everybody said that, but, like, that's the only... Unless they cast a dwarf to play the Penguin in the next Batman movie. Like, that's the only time a dwarf gets to play, like, a badass, kill people, and bang whores.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, other than, like, midget porn, like, those guys are, you know.
He does get a lot of trim as a little person, at least in the TV show.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, what are they, it's better than playing a
There's got to be another dwarf we're forgetting. There's got to be someone.
What, that was, well, I
who
guess.
Who killed it.
No,
Willow.
Like, Willow? Warwick Davis? Yeah,
Warwick
I guess Willow,
Davis.
That was like, yeah, okay.
He was Leprechaun, guys, come on.
It's true, Leprechaun was good.
Chris, plug the Patreon again. I know we're plugging a lot today, but there's just new things happening.
Go to the Twitter, click the link to the Patreon. It's in the subreddit. It's on Facebook.
And it explains. It explains it for everyone,
right? Basically, there's tiers. It's like Kickstarter, but it's every month you donate to us because we're putting out new content. And it's an incentive for us to put out even more content. And exclusive content to the Patreon donators. So if you want to hear more of this crap...
It's not crap, Chris.
Every time the show goes up a half hour late, I get 15 tweets on a Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah, we should probably address... Yeah, there was a problem. There's a problem with our hosting, and that's why last week's episode didn't go up on iTunes, but it did go up on More Like Radio.
It's on More Like Radio.
But we're going to be fixing that hopefully soon within the next month, where everything will be streamlined and good and great, and no one will ever complain ever again.
It's not true. They're going to complain.
You think?
Yeah. They complain if we don't like the shows they like.
What shows do we not like that everyone else likes?
I got a lot of shit about the Walking Dead stuff just because we shit on Walking Dead fairly
often. Yeah, the show's awful. And I think people who watch it and like it are coming around on maybe the show's not so good.
Who is? I don't know. It's still got huge ratings.
It's getting huge ratings, but a lot of people are bitching that, nothing happens, even though nothing happened in the first season.
Yeah.
Half the episodes, nothing was going on. There was like four zombies within the whole thing.
Hmm. Oh, here's a picture of somebody playing Schwarze Pete here. See, basically, it's always a white guy in blackface, A, because there's no black people in Norway, but also because supposedly...
I thought you said Germany.
I think there's a...
There's blacks in Germany, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did not know that. Hold on. It's several countries have...
Okay.
But it's all those super white countries. But apparently he's blackfaced because of the chimney soot.
Sure.
Because Santa is too good to go down the chimneys. So he needs his Schwarze to do it for him.
It's something else.
Yeah.
You learn something every day.
Yeah, and when you listen to this show, you learn all sorts of bad, wrong facts. It's great.
No, I'm reading it off Wikipedia.
It's taken us a long time tonight to try to get to the actual correct facts. I don't care.
I got a lot of tabs open. Sorry.
You got a lot of tabs open.
I'm drinking a lot of tab. It's retro.
They tried to bring tab back a few years ago. Didn't work out for them.
Yeah. I bought like $5,000 worth of tab. It's in a storage space
in
the city.
I bought a bunch of tab stock. It's
not
tanked.
Doing too well.
Oh my God.
That was a bad move.
Bad financial sense. All right. You've been listening to High Society Radio. And I want to thank our guest, our first guest co-host, because you were a guest co-host tonight, and you were our guest. I want to thank you, Matt Litwack. Your book is Beneath the Streets, The Hidden Relics of New York Subway System. It comes out in 2 weeks from the recording of this. That's July 11th in stores and online. Pre-order it now if it's before July 11th.
Save $10.
You save $10.
$10, yeah.
You get a beautiful book, and that's no bullshit. The link to its Amazon page will be at HS Radio Show. That's our Twitter account. And if you just want to check out the book's Instagram, it's at Beneath the Streets NYC. And Matt will be at Powerhouse Brooklyn July 10th.
Powerhouse Arena in Brooklyn, yes.
Powerhouse Arena in Brooklyn. I've been there before. It's a really nice bookstore, and it's going to be a big event. There'll be wine.
I don't think you should call a bookstore an arena.
It's Powerhouse Arena.
It's like where you sit is like an arena. It's like a Coliseum seating.
Like an amphitheater, yeah. Almost.
Amphitheater,
yeah, it's actually a really nice spot. It's in Dumbo, Brooklyn. It's the Powerhouse Arena. It's July 10th is when the release party, right?
Yeah, release party.
It's the release party. So go there. Have some wine. Enjoy some street art. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. It's not street art. It's graffiti.
Some graffiti. Some New York City history.
But you know one of your compatriots vandalized the Metropolitan Opera House today.
Really?
Yeah, what apparently somebody just ran through there with spray paint and just, drew a bunch of dicks on stuff.
Did he destroy real art, or did he just destroy some property?
No, not the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Opera House. He just ran in and just, like, on sculptures that they have, just spray painted obscenities.
And now he's
going to
go into some
They haven't
debt.
Caught him.
Oh, they haven't caught him?
Yeah.
Are you happy for that guy, or do you denounce him, Matt?
I denounce. I'm not into someone just fucking up a bunch of, public space like that. Or
good.
Private space.
Just destroy weird, creepy tunnels filled with heroin addicts and rats. Mm-hmm. Okay, this has been High Society Radio. I'm Chris Pepper Hicks Stanley.
Chris from Brooklyn.
And thank you, Matt Litwack.
Thank you.
Say goodbye.